members or business, certification of compliance with Wisconsin open meetings law. Dan, you good?
We're good.
All right. And then review and recommendation to the finance committee regarding the proposed 2024 CW extension budgets. Is that Pam or?
Yeah, I can cover it, and if any follow-up questions, Pam, one of the people will help answer.
All right, take it away.
All right, so the first page is probably something a lot of you supervisors and directors are used to seeing. Jim's format that laid it out of what our current year approved budget was with the 2024 proposed and then the difference below. In the email that I sent out to you guys, I already kind of gave you a precursor to why these numbers look so high, because it is, when you first glance at it, it is more offsetting than what it really is. So we can just flip right over to page 2, to the UW extension budget. Again, we have the 23 budget, thus compared to the change for the 2024. There is no change in the salaries and personnel lines. This position is a position for the UW Extension program that has been doing the trees and garden maintenance, upkeep, revamp, doing a really nice job there. We don't want to lose that position. There's still, I think, a couple more years that they want at least to finish out what they're doing. What VJ is doing along with this assistant is putting around a whole bunch of different tree species and then doing studies on them to help better for the state what species will survive climate change and different things like that. I guess this is like one of two studies that the whole state is doing, so it's actually kind of prestigious for Kenosha to be involved in that. The lines below it, we broke out this other professional services line just specifically because that is the big difference in the levy that you guys see. Last year, the number that was approved was around $215,214,500. It was cut in one of the finance meetings with the removal of one of the positions, and then later brought back in when the budget discussions happened, and I think everybody remembers. That was funded with highway GTA funds. We had known going into the whole budget process at this stage in the game that we were going to have excess funds there, and then you guys had proposed to offset that position with that. This 24 budget proposes to turn that back to levy in the way that it was originally proposed.
So just for clarity's purposes, that's the $44,900 in other professional services transfer?
Yes.
That's the cost?
Yes.
And then the transfer in is the $44,900 on the bottom to offset that?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And if you flip to page 3, I believe it was the community development educator that was cut and then brought back in. That's where you see the $44,900 cost there. You also see in 24 compared to 23, the cost did go up slightly, but we don't pay that unless the position is filled. Currently, there are two positions unfilled, the agriculture educator, which they have been very tryingly tried to fill, and then recently the 4-H program educator, which I think positive youth development educator, which is more recent, and they're going to be posting, I think, this week.
It'll be reposted. We had a field search the first time around, unfortunately, but we're reposting, and hoping this is the time that we get someone.
Now, is that the person that manages the YIG?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's Erica's vacation.
And you were, a month ago, you were, thought you had a person.
We were, and we did, and we brought three people in for final interviews, and had a really good prelim as well, and then two withdrew, one for family reasons, and one just pursue other opportunities, but one just didn't show.
No?
And nothing, heard nothing from them, so that's why we're trying again.
So, 0 for 3.
Yeah. At least the community development, that was successful, and I was feeling so good about things. And then we have PEG and PYD, which haven't been as successful.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll stay with that.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's pretty much the highlights for the office portion of the UW Extension.
And just a quick question, Chris. What happens to the unused funds from here, from 2023?
Does that go right into the general ledger? If it's budgeted with levy and not used?
If it's budgeted with levy and not used, it would lapse to the general.
Yeah.
So it just goes to our overall
general fund.
Budget surplus?
Yes.
Okay, and used for whatever?
For whatever. Offsets or whatever, yes. Unless there is a request, so it closes out at the end of the year. If there's a purpose in mind for the following year that the division wants, they have the ability to submit paperwork saying, can we carry these funds over into the future budget?
Yeah.
And then finance looks at that, and then if that's something that makes sense or they have a really good reason and not just that, you know, they want to do something that really doesn't make sense, that doesn't usually happen. Then that comes to the board with the closeout packet in April.
But we as the board will decide that in coming months.
Yes.
For 2023, right?
Right.
Okay.
Tara,
on page four.
Yep, we can go forward. If there's no other questions with the office portion of UW Extension. Page four, there's not really much to talk about, to be honest. The programs and both the after-school program, they're able to spend whatever they receive in revenue. If they don't receive the funding in the revenue, then they're not able to actually spend the expense. Both of these divisions do have smaller carryovers in the off chance where they do overspend where the revenue is, that would help offset that. But that should not be the case.
Okay.
And that is it for UW Extension. Page five, planning and development.
We'll have to. I'm just going to. We're only on the extension budget right now, so it's a separate item.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right then. So then that's item number two. So then we're going to move to. Item number three, review and recommendation to the Finance Committee regarding the proposed 2024 planning.
We usually take a vote on the item, on UW first.
All right.
Sorry.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the proposed 24 UW Extension budget.
Second.
All right. Moved by Supervisor Gashke, second by Supervisor Kubicki. Starting with the YIG, all those in favor of recommending the proposed budget?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and board members, all those in favor, state aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. Not used to making motions. True to the public hearing.
This is the easy week, Pat.
I know. I know that.
You may even a tip of the day.
So now moving on to page five, planning and development. Right off the bat, if you look at the personnel line, you see that there's quite a large increase. This is actually, besides the annual addition and the comp study increases that we would have seen at the mid-year of 2023, this is all transferred from other divisions. So the first part we'll touch on is the transfer from the health sanitarian positions from health back to planning and development. These positions actually started in planning and development. There was a state regulation change, inventory or something along those lines, where within the health department, required by the state, those positions change over to the health to help do the inventory, put it together. I think that took a couple of years. They now have that up to date. The inspections and annual reviews that they have to do have increased. But it seems to be coming more of a workload on health than what they can kind of handle, so now they're proposing to change that back to planning and development, from my understanding.
Yeah, if I can add just a little bit more on that. So way back in 2012, or even a little before that, there was Maximus study that was conducted, and there, and from that study, they had indicated that there were some benefits if the environmental sanitariums went to health, because they saw that there might be some crossover ability in health to do some of the health inspections that they do. But as it played out, it really didn't work out that way. Yeah, it was pretty clear that the work of the sanitarians was needed at the two people that were there. Then one retired, and then they replaced that with a half a person. And so after some time, we, in talking actually back when Ray was the director, thought that it would be good to bring them back, because basically we are completely intertwined daily with the sanitarian and everything that we do in our office. And since the sanitarian is not doing any of the health functions, there is no intertwining of the positions down there. So we put some paperwork together, talked with the health department, made a proposal that didn't necessarily work itself out last year, just because, actually we had that proposed last year, because we had a little odd situation with Shelly getting hired, whose husband actually works directly with our sanitarian. But in the last year of working with the county executive, she was willing to take oversight over the sanitarian. So if anything comes up, I would deal directly with the county executive and not through Shelly on anything related to sanitarian measures. So so that's what's happening. So we're looking to get it back. We're happy to get it back if everyone's willing to do so. We think, again, it's always been that way, and that's how everything meshes in our daily activities for permitting.
Chris, let's go to that personnel line up on top there. You were talking about 2023 and 2024, the 235 increase with the 1.5 individuals added back into the division, correct?
Right.
So that 1.5 persons make up 235?
No, so it's two-part. That's about, I think, 120-ish. Of that number?
120-ish of that number, and
yeah.
Then the rest is 115, you would say, approximately, is for?
About 90, what was it, 98, I think, almost to be exact, is actually the admin assistant position, April's salaries and benefits. Right now, she is one of two positions that reside in the finance budget,
Yeah. Not
in the public works budget. We've worked with the finance team, Patty, Barna, Matt, to discuss kind of revamping that and having them within the public works department.
Mm-hmm.
It serves a much greater purpose to actually public works with golf and highways.
Okay.
Being able to offset some of the levy. Planning and development, it doesn't have as much benefits that public works does, but it just puts the personnel expense in the division in which it resides. So it simply just transfers the 96, 98 from finance to planning and development. The other 10 to 15 is the annual changes with account changes and things like that.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. Yeah. Appreciate it.
And just going back again for your history, is April was part of planning and development, and then during some restructuring years back.
Doing some ping pong with her water.
Yeah. She's never left our office, but her position has transferred budgetarily into different departments.
And for many years, April was the clerk for the finance meeting. She was there for all the budget hearings, so she did do
work. Well, she was there when I was there. That's why I was there.
Yep. She did do work for us, but then it didn't make sense for her to have to be driving all the way in when she's based here. So we now assign that to, it's Mary, but she is located there and is part of finance, so April can devote her time to planning and development.
And extension.
But then her wages should really be charged there as well. Yes, and UW Extension.
So if I break it down under the expenses section, down at the bottom, the first line for personnel would be what I understand it to be is $120,000, roughly speaking.
Yep.
The second line for the salaries increase based on annual raises and 2023 mid-year wage study results is $17,000. And then the interdepartment changes is the $98,000.
Yeah,
roughly speaking.
Yeah, roughly speaking that.
Okay.
Yeah, and the 120 is also offset with the 70 below in the revenue. So it's actually, it's a overall hit to the levy of 50,000. Again, but it's still just a transfer from health in this instance to P&D.
That's the permitting fees that the sanitarian receives through permitting, and so that revenue gets transferred with the position.
I will note too, for the revenues, in 2022 going into 2023, we had the building inspection revenue and expense estimated at like $150,000. Based on what we've seen so far this year and talking with Andy, we believe that number would probably be closer to $75,000, or $70,000, somewhere along those lines. So that is why you see a decrease.
In the inspection. Third line item down in inspection services from 145 down to 75.
Yeah, 275. So $70,000.
Delta 70,000. Got it.
Right. So with that, Jim did some studying and kind of just went high because we wanted to make sure that we had enough funds coming in. It's basically completely a zero because there's a revenue and expenses zero itself out. And then now that we've kind of gotten into the year, we can see halfway through where we're going, and the fact that people aren't building as much, you can see a little decrease, and so that's why we were asking to lower it based upon what we're anticipating.
Okay, but no net effect is what it means.
No net effect.
Got it.
If there's no other questions with that portion of it, I'll flip to page 6. This is just kind of an information-only page. The South Pike River project, we were supposed to hear at the end of September. Did we hear, or did that get pushed back?
It got pushed back now to mid-November.
Okay, so which is the ongoing trend that we've continually seen, which is exactly why we pushed this project funds out into 25, 26. Once we get numbers back, obviously these numbers will probably change somewhat based upon what we've received back. But for now, these are what the original numbers were, and just showing that the project's still intended to be done unless something happens. Yeah, I guess that's that.
So mid-November, what is it that we're going to have updated estimate numbers, or what is coming in mid-November?
Yeah, so what's happening is that when this went to finance last year, it ended up getting tabled, and that was because of some concerns of what the design was going to look like. And so it was determined that the information that would be needed to answer that question would be when Army Corps reaches a 60% design. And they originally thought they'd be there much earlier, but due to multiple managers of the project changing, multiple engineers switching out of Army Corps to other places, it's really lengthened the work. And they had some logistical issues trying to work with how they can deal with the amount of soil they have to move. And so now they're thinking they'll be at that 60% design stage in November, which when we get that information, we will present that to administration and then present it to finance with that. And then obviously if everything is positive, we would then move along through this process.
Yeah. In 2022, we budgeted roughly a little over $2 million for the real estate acquisitions for this project, and this is the project that we're getting a $10 million grant from the Army Corps for. So obviously, with them pushing it back, it obviously pushes back the talks of that $10 million and everything that goes along with it as well.
When you,
go ahead. Yes.
When you talk about that $10 million, is there a drop-dead date on that, or is it just gonna, are we gonna be able to keep moving forward, or are we gonna lose it, or what's the deal there?
From my understanding of it all, is because it's on their side of things of why everything's getting delayed, that is also getting pushed back.
Oh, because it's nothing on our end.
Right, correct. Originally, when we were supposed to get,
we would be having this conversation right now, So I'm glad that you're telling me it's on their end, because then we can't do nothing. We're at their mercy is what you're saying.
Right.
Thank you for that.
So they've actually taken the whole scope of timeline. Yeah. They've had to adjust that multiple times every time it gets moved back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
No other questions on page 6. Page 7, it's kind of just a mod of the smaller divisions that are made up between all of DPW, but in specifically that involves planning and development of some of these higher ones. The tree planting program, again, is one of those projects where it's money in, money out. There is no levy associated with it. What they spend is what they should receive. Pre-development and land and water as well, same exact thing.
And one comment I'll just make in regards to the Board of Adjustment, because it does have an actual budget because of the three members and the meetings that they hold all year long, is that there is showing on here the legal fees is being requested to be removed. So just so you know the history on that, is that there has always been the practice of carrying the ability to have some fees for the situation on if the Board of Adjustments is sued, because it is a quasi-judicial board and that can happen, and it has happened in the past only a couple times. And they have to get their own attorney. They cannot use the county attorney to represent themselves. The county attorney represents us as staff, and as a board, they'd have to get their own attorney. So not a problem with it being removed, but just be aware that if something were to happen, we would then need to look for funds somewhere to be able to pay for that attorney to represent the Board of Adjustments.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. Go ahead.
On this line item, tree planting stock, does that divide out to all the county parks or just on this grounds here for their study, or where is that all go?
No, this is, and you can definitely speak to it more so than I can, but this is a program that they lead where they do the sale of the tree stock inventory, which...
Right, so the county has been doing this for how many years?
20 years.
It's the Arbor Days.
Yeah. No, it's not really related to that. It's just every county, almost every county has a tree program where they sell tree stock, bare root tree stock.
Bundles
of them. Yeah, and that's what that is.
So it's shovel ready for a taxpayer to put in the ground.
Correct, right.
It's not like a big bundle where I got to use your truck to
So we hand you a bundle about the size of this, and there's 25 of them in there, and then you plant them.
Okay.
And it's to help really reforest. People that have lots of land, many is looking to do that to reforest. This isn't landscaping material.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And so the fees that they get from the sale of those trees offset the cost of the trees.
Right. Comes out. Yeah. Okay. Right. Thank you for that.
I did have a question on the bottom there, the Civic Center property.
So the other items are not part of planning and development. That's on this paper, but it's part of the public works, which will be covered on Monday.
Right.
So we only covered the first four. Board of Adjustments, tree planting, pre-development, and land and water. Because then it's parks and facilities are the other.
So, I mean, I guess you guys can vote, and then if you have a question, I can always help address it now. I'd rather address it now than address it later. So,
on those last three, you're saying?
Specifically the Civic Center, since he had that. But.
The natural question is, why did it increase 20,000?
So, I spoke with Matt Lays and Barna about this. I think what it was doing was kind of throwing off the numbers that they were putting together in the book by having it showing like a negative levy. I don't know if they call it offset or. And what those funds do, there's a little comment there, a very small print, that how the budget resolution language is set up is that those funds, any excess and revenue that we get from all that income actually goes into the Civic Center development capital project to help fund acquisitions and demolitions of that sort. So it's not that we're anticipating losing any rental participants that we have right now. It was throwing off how the numbers were perceived or presented in the budget book, that they changed that to be a wash rather than show a negative impact.
Okay.
Just one thing real quick, if I could. I don't lower the font anymore.
I got it.
I don't have to stretch out.
We'll kind of make the margin wider.
I can read it now. I couldn't read a driver's license earlier today.
Oh. Okay, that concludes the...
I think you guys have motion to...
Yep. Move the item on the agenda, yeah.
I'm sure you want to do that just now, or we got some time to talk about it.
Do you have any questions?
No.
any questions on the planning and development budget? All right. Not seeing any. Do I have any motions for recommendation?
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Second. Motion by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Gashke. Any other comments? Not seeing any. We'll start with the yig and the votes. How do you vote on the recommendation? All those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All in favor. Board members, all in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Recommendation is unanimous for planning and development.
Thank you.
All right, perfect.
Logistical question. Tuesday, October 24th is when finance is going to be considering this particular portion. Who staff or committee members are planning to be at that meeting?
I'll be presenting.
Okay.
All the directors.
Yeah. Usually all the directors, okay. Shelley, will all be in attendance for other questions that obviously I don't have as in-depth detail.
I'll be there too.
Are you able to be there?
I'm going to try and be there. I should be. So
I most likely will be there. So just to have some type of committee representation, but I was just curious. You know.
And this will also be presented on the 16th, on Monday.
Oh, that's right, at Public Works, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it at the beginning of ours and then feed right into the rest of the Public Works.
Do you need any committee representatives at that meeting at all? Or
I don't think so. I think I just say it was unanimously passed, and then I give the spiel.
Normally our budget isn't very controversial.
Right.
There are a few things that at a glance might make people wonder, but you know, like your initial email, it explains things pretty clearly. Yeah. So I just wouldn't want a non-committee member to try to do something to our budget.
Well, where would you get that?
It's happened.
Yeah, it knows.
Yep, I did send out a similar email. It involved a couple of things specifically about Public Works, but involved planning and development changes to the Public Works Committee, so they're also aware that when they see this, of what the changes are and why. Yeah.
Communication is always important.
Yep.
Once you lay it out there ahead of time, I think no one can say, well, what is this and what is that? You presented via email. They can't read. I can't help. And I just move on. But thanks for doing that. I might say, Mr. Chair, a great presentation, staying with the facts and that, and answering our questions. I appreciate it. Good job doing it. Right man for the right job.
Right. And it was helpful because I think there was some preliminary discussion about what was happening with the budget, so then it helps us to understand it coming into it, knowing that there's going to be some shifting of the positions around.
Yeah.
So I think, Andy, you mentioned it, and I certainly talked with the executive about it too. So all that information ahead of time helps things go through smoothly.
Yeah, and I definitely wanted to have it laid out so somebody doesn't look at it and all of a sudden, oh, what can I chop? What do I need to chop? And it's like, well, let me explain why this is such a big increase first before we have that mindset.
Because we're not seeing the offsets coming from the other budgets at this point.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's in the budget book. We're probably 200 pages apart.
We could go and see where it's at.
Do you have time to kill?
No, let's let this new
you
pop
said it was
again.
A doll?
Yeah, I'm gonna go pick up dinner for mother. So
it sounds like a good plan.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Well, thank you all.
All right. Well, thank you. And now we have to wait a half.
We have to wait.